Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be if the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180, served up by Wendy's, with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Glad you're with us. The final hour is here, just like that. Midday 180 here on 104.5 The Zone. Crew is all here. David Reed, the chairman of the board. Full coverage of the AFC Championship. Tennessee at Kansas City. Coming up this Sunday, 2:05 kickoff. Titans radio coverage here on 104.5 The Zone. We'll be live from Arrowhead Stadium at noon. Lee Company countdown to kickoff starts much earlier than that. It'll be at 9 a.m. Leading up to the noon coverage from Arrowhead. John McClain joins us. He was at Arrowhead this past weekend where he saw the Texans take a 24-0 lead. And then they allow 51 points from that point.
That lead was gone before halftime.
51-7 is what Kansas City outscored Houston on after the 24-0 hole that they found themselves in. John joins us. John, how are you?
I couldn't be better. Man, you guys are getting around. Y'all are compiling some frequent flyer miles.
That's for sure.
We are. We can't wait to get to Kansas City, and then we'll hopefully, well, we're going to Miami either way, but we're hopeful to cover this team in Miami for the Super
Bowl.
That
was an incredible victory, of course, of Baltimore, just like New England. And when the Texans went up 24-0, I picked the Chiefs to win by, I think, 30-23. But when they went up 24-0 early in the third quarter, I started thinking about the first thing I thought about was doing the show live with you guys in Houston on Friday. And I kind of thought it was fool's gold, too, based on the way it had happened. And then kid runs a kickoff back 58 yards, Nicole Hardman. And I thought, well, this is going to be a typical Houston collapse. And then after Bill O'Brien boneheaded fake punt at his 31 touchdown, I knew the route was on. And but I'm happy you guys go to Kansas City. I hope you guys don't have all the problems with weather that people from Houston did going to Kansas City over the weekend. And I hope you have safe travels, but it'd be a great game. It won't surprise me at all based on what Mike Vrabel and the Titans have done if they don't pull a third consecutive upset.
John, whenever they went for the when O'Brien went for the fake punt at 24-7 and they didn't get it, I knew at that moment Kansas City's coming back in this game quickly. Because you could just tell the momentum was going that direction, and then that sealed it. That play call, that decision, where does that rank on you called it boneheaded and you're right. Where does that rank on your list of just poor play calls over the years?
Well, it's one of the worst I've ever seen, and the worst in Houston history had a name to it. Oilers under Jerry Glanville played in Denver, and he called a trick play the first time they got the ball deep in his end. It backfired. The Broncos recovered a fumble by running back Mike Rozier, scored, and the route was on. And afterward, somebody says to Glanville, "Jerry, did that play have a name?" And he goes, "Stagger Lee." And I'm like, what's that? It was a country western song in the 50s. And if you say Stagger Lee in Houston, people know exactly what you're talking about. This one didn't have a name. You know, if that one had been Z-Ride X4709, it never would have been infamous. But this one, we're calling it Stagger Lee 2 because it was ridiculous. Now, I'll say this. The Texans could not stop them on the first three series. The Chiefs dropped third down passes. They muffed a punt. They had a punt block. They just couldn't have started worse. And if they hadn't dropped those third down passes on the first three series, they might have scored 10 touchdowns in a row because the Texans' defense was awful. And so as bad as that play was, I don't care what had happened. If they had scored another touchdown or two, they're still going to get beat because their defense was pathetic, the worst it's been all season.
Phone lines are open. If you've got an NFL question for John McClain, now is your chance to hop on and ask him that question. 615-737-1045, 737-1045. John, who is taking the most heat in Houston today outside of Bill O'Brien?
It is amazing. Yesterday, when I came back, I was listening to NFL radio. The Texans are getting blasted. I go to the Texans. I come back, get my car, switch to MLB radio because I knew the Astros penalty had come down. And I hear Jim Crane, the owner's news conference, and he's fired the manager, A.J. Hinch, and the general manager, Jeff Luhnow, who've done a tremendous job here. And we were in shock. And he's getting a lot of praise around the country for doing it. And I was stunned as an Astros fan. I hated it. I understood it. And Hinch will have a job as soon as his suspension is up because he's great. He's popular. He's great with fans, media, players. Luno's kind of a weirdo, but he'll be back too because owners want to win. You know, they'll hire anybody. So yesterday, Bill O'Brien didn't say this, but you know, he went, whew, thank you, Astros and MLB.
Why is Cal McNair so married to A, Bill O'Brien, but B, this setup without a GM?
Well, first of all, O'Brien, a GM, did a lot better job than O'Brien, a coach. He made a lot of moves. It turned out really good for this team, and they got farther than they've been in the playoffs since 2016 and could have beaten the Chiefs and blew it. I have no problem with him being a GM. All those duties that had come under a GM, like contracts, strength and rehab, medical, analytics. He's got a right-hand man, Jack Easterby, who came this year or this season from the Patriots. He's the assistant GM without the title. Knowing how they operate, I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with Bill O'Brien, the coach and the play caller.
And so who's overseeing Bill O'Brien, the coach and the play caller, and asking for him to revise his ways?
General manager.
How are those conversations going?
He has faith in O'Brien, and he doesn't talk. The last time he's talked other than his team radio is when he sat down with me at the league meetings last year, and I'm hoping he'll do it again.
Yeah, I saw you guys.
And he doesn't talk. He's friendly. He'll talk to you. He just doesn't do interviews. But I know what he'd say. We won the division 4 times in 5 years. And then we come back, and as we pointed out here, every team in the division has been in the AFC Championship game since O'Brien's been here, other than O'Brien. And Vrabel's done it in 2 years. And a lot of people are saying here the Texans kept the wrong coach.
Let's go to Joey in Cross Plains. Hey, Joey.
Hey, guys. John, you know, yeah, Paul just kind of touched on it, but that was my question is, how long is the McNair family going to put up with Bill O'Brien? Like, I mean, yes, like you said, he's won the AFC South the last 4 out of 5 years, but last year getting blown out by the Colts, this year giving up the big lead to Buffalo and then eventually coming back and winning that one in overtime. But then again, this past Sunday, jumping out to the big lead and then just absolutely imploding on, like they said, a boneheaded call. So How much longer will he be in Houston?
He's got 3 years left on his contract, and this was the first year of his extension, so he's got 3 more years. I believe that Bill O'Brien would have to have 2 losing seasons in a row to get fired, and as long as Deshaun Watson's healthy, that's not going to happen because they do have some talent. I never thought this team was a Super Bowl contender. I said it before the season, during the season, in the playoffs, never thought that because they had too many holes, especially on defense, where they have to rebuild their pass rush and secondary. But I don't, unless he goes 2-14, the only coaches who've been fired here, Dom Capers and Gary Kubiak, were fired after 2-14 season, and that's not going to happen.
David is next up. Hey, David.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Great, man.
Good. Yeah, I had the same question for you guys. You know, I was just wondering how long Houston is going to put up with this nonsense with Bill O'Brien. And, I mean, the window is closed, and we've seen how far he can take this team. You got to capitalize on one of these offensive gurus to get to make the change in Houston.
Well, I don't see the window closing because all their players other than J.J. Watt, who'll turn 31, and there's a lot of players at 31 playing well in the NFL. They need two things on defense. They rebuilt their offense in the offseason. They did beat Buffalo in the playoffs. That's farther than they – that's only his second playoff victory. Vrabel's had two playoff victories on the road as an underdog. The Texans have never done that. And I tell you something that makes people angrier here. I put up a mailbag on Texas Sports Nation this morning in which I ran over 200 inches of emails from fans venting on O'Brien. I told him I'd do it. You send it. Of course, I have to edit a lot of it. I started at the beginning of the championship game, and I finished at 12:30. And people are angry. And one reason, you know, losing to the Chiefs, everybody expected them to lose to the Chiefs. But when the Titans won at Baltimore, and fans here saw Mike Vrabel do it, and fans here knew the Texans win Houston hosts the AFC Championship game for the first time against the former Oilers, and first championship game by a Houston team since the Oilers in 79, people got their hopes up, and then when they're up 24-0 in the second quarter, people are ready to buy tickets, and then boom, they choke like crazy. Choke two here, as we're calling it, to the Buffalo playoff game in 93. And so the fact that if the Titans did so well and their former coach did so well, that makes it even more difficult for the fans here to stomach and puts any even more pressure on O'Brien and more criticism directed at him, and he is getting it from all sides.
Jacob, our next caller for John McClain. Hey, Jake.
Hey, John, good to talk to you.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, Jacob.
John, in this upcoming AFC title game, I think the Titans have to do a couple things, and their formula will play out here. If Henry has 25 or plus carries, I think that's good for the Titans. And I don't think the Titans can let Kansas City just score 3 or 4 touchdowns in a row. I think they have to break up their momentum with making them settle for field goals, turnovers, and the Titans have to conversely match Kansas City when they get in the red zone. They have to score TDs instead of field goals. And I got one other question for you. How long do you think Mike Vrabel is going to be able to keep Arthur Smith on his staff?
Well, Arthur will be back next year. They keep winning, and he keeps calling great games, and they gets more attention, and he'll start getting interviews. So I'm guessing he'll be there one more year for sure, maybe two, but things got to keep progressing. And I think that would be great. Mike Vrabel would love for the team to be good enough to help Arthur Smith get a head coaching job. And something about the Chiefs, two of the Texas goals, shut down the running backs and control Tyreek Hill. They totally controlled Tyreek Hill, totally shut down the running backs. Mahomes ran for more than 50 yards on broken plays, and then they give up 51 points. And one of the things, they could not stop Travis Kelce. They play him every year, played him this season, did a good job, but they tried three different players, zone. He had 10 catches, 100-something yards, and 3 touchdowns. So Mike Vrabel, Dean Pease, no. You got Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce to worry about, and the Chiefs just have so much speed on offense. And that's something everybody has to contend with. When the Texans won 31-24 at Arrowhead this season, they controlled the ball for more than 40 minutes. And even though Mahomes had it for only 19, he still threw 3 touchdown passes.
Phone lines are open. Your chance to talk to John McClain. We can recap the divisional round, look ahead to Championship Sunday. Any story across the league, it's all fair game. For the one, the only, the man in black, John McClain. 615-737-1045. Load up those phone lines. 737-1045.
More sports talk, less static. Nashville's number one station for sports. 1045. The Zone.
Midday 180, 104.5 The Zone, John McClain with us, presented by FreelandChevy.com. John, how difficult is it to slow down the Kansas City offense?
It's about as difficult as it gets, but if you can slow down Lamar Jackson and the highest-scoring team and the top offense in the league, you can do it against the Chiefs. Their running game is not very good. Their run defense is not very good. So that would be ideal for the Titans. They are going to have to commit more players in the box to Henry, not that it matters, but they're going to have to, and I think that the play action with Tannehill throwing down the field, whether he throws for 50 yards or 150, is going to work great against their secondary. Now, their defense has been great over the six games. Last six games they won, and they gave up 11 points a game. The Texans, Sean Watson threw for 388, two touchdowns, ran for one, had no turnovers. So they moved the ball on the Chiefs. The problem was the Chiefs moved it better. So I think that they can score on them, control the ball, keep Mahomes on the bench, and don't turn it over when you have it.
Do you think there's something to be said for Kansas City overcoming the playoff hurdle that they did against Houston, trailing 24-0? And look, that's a team and a fan base that expects Andy Reid to lose in those big moments, and his team did the opposite.
Yeah, well, Andy, you know, he had nothing to do with the kickoff return, the boneheaded call, and he was letting Eric Bieniemy call plays in the second half. You know, Andy's problem in the playoffs is he makes some boneheaded decisions like Bill O'Brien did, and he didn't in that game because, really, it would have been hard to, considering how down you were to begin with. In a game like this one, which I expect to be close, that's when bad decisions can really haunt you, and that's what haunted him throughout his career.
Phone lines are open for your NFL questions for John McClain. 615-737-1045, 737-1045.
Hey, John.
Hey.
Go right ahead.
Hey, so a question for a guy who loves football but doesn't know a whole lot about football, a question about taunting. Can players on the field dog cuss each other? I mean, if a rep were to hear that, I know if you, you know, obviously if you're right in their face and you pick up the football and say, hey, look what I did, you know, that's taunting. But how can it be on the field in terms of, you know, one player against another in terms of what they say to each other?
They trash talk each other like crazy. You don't see taunting penalties when they're lining up across from each other. It's in celebrations, usually after touchdowns or turnovers or sacks. So, yeah, there's a lot of trash talking that still goes on in the NFL, and you can dog cuss them, whatever you want, but you better not talk about their mamas.
Right.
Yeah, probably shouldn't use racial slurs either. That would be unadvisable.
John, I think people, fans, would be fascinated with how many officials and referees talk back to players.
Oh, just like umpires. You don't see it happen like in baseball where you're right on top of it and an ump will get in the manager's face and they'll scream back and forth and swap spit. Now, yeah, you don't see that much in the NFL, but they're close to them. You know, the side judge is over there. He can say anything. And, of course, the referee can say anything. But, yeah, they'll say stuff to players like, you know, shut the bleep up, yeah, get your bleep down.
And the coaches.
Of course. Absolutely. The coaches.
615-737-1045, our number if you'd like to jump in.
John, what do you think about Marshall Yanda accusing Jeffrey Simmons of spitting in his face, and Marshall Yanda is on camera spitting in the face and hawking a loogie on Vontaze Burfict's face at one point in his career?
That means that you better keep your mouth shut unless you got no baggage to be exposed. That's hilarious. One time here, it was in preseason during a practice in training camp, and our columnist called for the Oilers coach, Ed Biles, to be fired the first day of practice in training camp. And defensive end Elvin Bethea, who's in the Hall of Fame and is now a good friend of mine, Elvin is screaming at Ed Fowler, the columnist, in the end zone, and he spits in his face. And Ed, like an idiot, goes after him, but thank goodness for Ed, or maybe Elvin, they broke it up. And for Elvin, like Michael Strahan, has a hole in his teeth. And he said, hey, I didn't mean to do it. It just went out there naturally. And, of course, that wasn't true.
104.5 The Zone. The Smashcast with Mark Howard.
How surprised were you that David Poile went ahead and made this move to let go Peter Laviolette.
I wasn't very surprised, Will. I just sort of felt like they'd reached a point where they had to make a change. They have so many untradeable contracts on that roster. You can't just get rid of, you know, the whole team. Firing the coach is really the only option, and really the best option.
Subscribe now. Available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and Stitcher.
John McClain with us. He's presented by FreelandChevy.com. You can join him, 615-737-1045.
John, what'd you think about Bill Cowher and Jimmy Johnson finding out that they were parts of the Centennial Hall of Fame class on their respective halftime shows that they're part of?
When we left Canton, we didn't know David Baker was going to do that, and he can do anything he wants. After watching the reactions of them, Cowher and his family, I think it was great. I don't know why they did it that way. The other 13 will be announced in the morning at 6 a.m. Central Time. I'm glad y'all brought it up. I'd forgotten. I just set my alarm for 5:45. and so I didn't have a problem with it because it was emotional, and especially Jimmy. I love watching Jimmy Johnson cry. I told Jimmy 3 years ago at a roast in Port Arthur, Texas, for Wade Phillips. Jimmy and I were roasters, and we sat together. I said, Jimmy, just be patient. You're going to get in the Hall of Fame because you deserve it. And he didn't think he would because his career was shorter, but I was happy for him.
So, what are they doing 6 o'clock in the morning? Like,
are they all announced at the same time?
Than that?
I guess. I don't know. All that question you asked me, I sent it, and the response was they would check. Hopefully they won't send us. Usually they send the Hall of Fame committee the results with an embargo we can't break, but to have our stories ready to be posted online. And in the morning, if it's 6 Central and they send it to 4, I'll let you get up. You send me your story. And but... So I'm waiting on an answer to that. And if David Baker is going to be doing that at 4 a.m. Pacific time, because that's where the NFL Network is,
I know.
Why they have to be on at 7 Eastern? Why not 8 Eastern? But
why not that's 8 p.m.?
Oh, is that that? I thought the Good Morning Football was in New York for some reason. That's in L.A.?
Well, maybe it is. It could be in New York. You're probably right. It's Rich Eisen and his group that are in L.A.
Yeah.
So that makes more sense. It's 7 a.m. for them. But they want to get maximum exposure on that show because it runs for hours over and over. Plus, they'll get on all the talk shows and everything else.
I bet they don't say them all at once.
Support for this class.
Let's go to Ed. Hey, Ed.
Hey, guys. First off, thanks for bringing up the Mike Rozier memory. I suppressed that for about 30 years, and I almost drove off the road when hearing you describe it because I could see it like yesterday. So, no, my question is more about the process for Bud Adams. John, when you're in the room presenting, how many people, you know, what's the makeup of the room? Do you have to educate people more about Bud, or is it more of a reminder for them?
First of all, on that special Blue Ribbon panel, you had people like John Madden, Dick LeBeau, Gil Brandt, Ron Wolf, Bill Polian, Bill Belichick. You had about Joel Buzzard, longtime historian for the NFL. You had another guy, historian for NFL Films. So they knew, and on my presentation, I kept it to 65 in the merger. And as I told them when I started, I said, we were invited be on this committee to recognize the history of the NFL and those who made an impact on the game. And I said, you cannot write the history of the NFL without Bud Adams, and here's why. And then I told it, and several others spoke up. Nothing was ever said negatively. And it's a long shot because there was some great presentations for a lot of deserving candidates. I hope Bud gets it. I told Amy I did everything I could possibly do. And we'll continue to put contributors in there, and I will never give up as long as I'm in a position to present him.
And the other thing, too, is there are other strong presentations for every candidate when you get to that opportunity. So
yeah, if he doesn't get in, three people will have gotten in. So the list will, he'll have moved up the pecking order. And like John said, there will still be a path for contributors, and he will have moved up three notches.
I didn't want the voters to be thinking about the Oilers at the end here or things that happened in Nashville, and I wanted them thinking about history. I kept talking about history. That's why we were there, to recognize history. And there was nobody, as I pointed out, among the finalists who was in the NFL as long as Bud Adams was. So there's no denying his place in history. And here, when I tell people that, I thought there'd be some negativity, and I've done it in front of fans, and nobody says a word. They all say, you're right, Bud does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. And, boy, that's a change if it had happened 20 years ago.
Very smart approach.
Did you get the sense that it was better, that the history verbiage there, the line of thinking was better in that group than in previous groups you've presented this?
No, I've never presented Bud. Paul, I don't think we presented Bud before to the regular committee, because even when they started taking contributors, they had others who they deemed more deserving. And so this is the first time Bud's been up there. And I closed it with something most of them didn't know, even though I've written it and talked about it numerous times, including on national TV and radio. Bud had the rights to Joe Namath, and he traded those rights to the New York Jets and basically saved the American Football League. And to keep the Titans franchise afloat with their owner, Harry Wismer, who was basically broke, Bud gave Wismer money, cash, to keep the most important franchise in the AFL afloat. So he saved the New York Jets. And so a lot of them didn't know that, but how much importance they put to it, I do not know. But I know some of the people on that committee, the writers who are on our regular committee, I got a response from them, but it takes a lot more than them. You know, it's 25 of us voted, and when it came to the contributors, we listened to 10 presentations, we had discussions, we voted for three. And I hope Bud's one of the three, but I couldn't tell you, even begin to give you a prediction, other than I called it a long shot.
Bud was the first to turn his team into a profit, wasn't he?
Oh, I don't.
Isn't that why Wismer needed the money?
He and Lamar were loaded to begin with all money, so I have no idea who turned the first profit.
Well, I know that the quote from Wismer, the owner of the Titans at the time, the New York Titans, was the ship is sinking into the water and you're the only one that's come forward to help. And I think Bud gave him $10,000 cash.
Yeah, well, he gave him a lot more than that. That was just at one time. So I don't know. None of them were making money at that point. Bud just had oil money. And he used it. And I think at one point he started off helping the Raiders too, which is one reason Al Davis was always so loyal to him, even though at the time Al was a coach, not the managing partner.
John McClain with us. And for those that are wondering, John, you have no idea on the result of this vote, do you?
No idea. And I'll tell you something else somebody else pointed out in there. I can't say who it is other than the fact he's been in the NFL since 59. He said whenever there was discussions in the league, Bud always sided with the league. And he always wanted what was best for the league. And I hope that resonated with the voters.
John, thank you as always. I know you and it's just in reference to Bud Adams and the presentation, I know you put a lot of time and effort into it because we were chatting about it in Houston. So hopefully tomorrow, if he gets in, we'll be able to chat with you then.
I look forward to it, guys. Thank you very much. Keep
All right.
your fingers crossed.
Thanks,
Good luck to Mike Vrabel and the Titans.
Yeah, we'll catch up with you later this week. John McClain joins us twice a week, presented by FreelandChevy.com.